Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio? How you doing? What's up? Did a little head nod thing. You know, so Thanksgiving's around. People are going back to hugging. Hugging's cool. I'm a big hugger. You know what I dislike the most about gatherings? The side face kiss thing. You guys, does anybody do the side face kiss thing? I despise the side face kiss thing. And it's one of those deals where I remember I was 26. We moved to Connecticut when I first started working at ESPN, and we got invited to like a neighborhood party. You know, this is, we moved in right around Thanksgiving time too. So this is Thanksgiving 2003, I think. Yeah. Thanksgiving 2003. And, we went down to our neighbor's house. This is a true story. Burlington, Connecticut. We went down to our neighbor's house and we were into dessert, had been there 3 or 4 hours. And I remember leaning over to the guy whose house it was, going like, you're not going to watch the game? I remember like, this is like a 3 hour, maybe I was an hour and a half into it. I can't remember the actual timing of it. But the words, what game, was uttered. And I was like, I'm in the twilight zone. Because I don't know. It was one of those, before that day, I didn't know anybody who didn't watch football on Thanksgiving. But apparently those people do exist. Nonetheless, that was my first kind of entry into the side face kiss thing, which is just awful. Right? Like, look, if it's a person who you know, and you want to hug them, you hug them. If it's a person who you feel comfortable kissing, then you kiss them. If it's a person that you don't know, well, then you shake your hand or you just do the head up thing. Go, hey, nice to meet you. Right? Now we can do elbows, right, if we're concerned about germs. The face kiss thing, I don't think should exist in American culture. Jeff Schwartz joins us, former NFL lineman. When you're in a neighborhood in Charlotte, you got this beautiful pool, great family. When you get invited to a neighborhood thing, do people do the face kiss thing?
Not to me, they don't.
What do they do?
I don't know. I kind of have a look on my face like, just don't talk to me sometimes. So, I don't know. I don't get talked to sometimes. Really? Handshake, I guess, maybe? A fist bump now? I mean, elbow, the elbow?
The only problem with the neighbor with the hugs is the wife will always get, if you have a cute wife, she'll always get the uncomfortable, a little bit too close, a little bit too long hug by at least one dude in the neighborhood, right? That happens.
Yeah, we don't really, I don't think my wife and I are big like huggers. Like I try to avoid touching people if I can.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, the Schwartz brothers have a cookbook. I don't know if you guys know this. I know this because one of the first times I had you on a different network, you guys were hawking the cookbook. So I'm guessing this is a pretty big day for you, right? How are you making the turkey this year?
Well, the same way I've done it for the last couple of years. It actually is defrosting right now, so it's getting ready to go. And I will deep fry it. I will, tomorrow when it gets defrosted, I will inject it with some Creole butter seasoning and marinade, and then I will season the skin and let it sit overnight. And then I will put it in the peanut oil. It's a 13.5-pound bird, and so 48 minutes about. And then, boom, it's done. And I like doing Thanksgiving for more like a lunch, because then I can have it also for dinner. Yeah. I don't like doing like, why would you eat it for like a late lunch, early dinner thing? I just eat it for lunch and eat again for dinner. It's perfect.
Yes. Yes. Totally, completely agree. Okay. And then what are the sides at your house?
Yeah. So my wife will make a homemade mac and cheese. It's the only time all year she does it, and it's delicious. It's glorious. I love it. So I'll do that.
Homemade, like a good, is every, when you say homemade, are the macaroni homemade, or is it just she buys the macaroni, she buys a bunch of cheeses, she puts in a dish and she makes it on her own, and that's the homemade macaroni and cheese?
Yeah, she's not making the pasta herself.
Just ask. I'm asking because everybody says homemade macaroni and cheese, but there's different levels of homemade macaroni.
It's just not from the
cheese.
Box. It's not from. It's not Velveeta, or it's not mac and cheese from the box.
Right.
You know, the cheese and the milk and the breadcrumbs on top, and it's really good. I think we're having a green bean casserole. I have some stuffing, but I'm kind of a weirdo. Like, I like the turkey. A lot of people don't like turkey. Like, they
white
like
or dark,
but the turkey. I like the wing. And I like the legs, so obviously,
so you like dark.
And dark.
No,
I'm
no,
not
the wing is the wing is dark. The leg is dark. You like dark meat?
No, the thigh and the leg is dark meat, and
so
the
is
wing
the wing.
And the breast is white meat.
The wing is absolutely not white meat. The wing is dark meat.
It's connected to the breast. I think it's considered white meat, but we could argue about that another time.
No. I love you. You're mishbuka. Okay, wing is dark meat. The breast is the breast, right? It's like, is your arm your breast? You're like in a human body, the arm is connected to the shoulder, is connected to the breast
area. It says here on the Google machine, white meat found in the breast and wings.
I would say the base of the wing would be, but the actual wing itself is dark meat.
So
Jeff Schwartz.
So the drumette is considered the white meat, but the rest of it's considered dark meat.
No, not even the drumette, but at the base of the drumette where it connects to the connects to the breast. That's when tell how you cut it off.
But but the thing about frying the turkey is that
it's all moist,
the breast is not dried out.
Yeah,
so you could make it for sandwiches the next day, which I love to do. So I will eat the entire turkey, but I can eat at different stages.
We're going to smoke the turkey. It's going to be hard to get it inside that rapid, the smoking paper. I know, but I'm kidding. No, we're going to smoke the turkey.
Yeah, set it and forget it. I love it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm doing the Dan Patrick Show, which starts at 6 local time. So when I get up at 5, that's when I'm putting the turkey on.
It's the way to go. The baking, it's old school. I'm not a big baked turkey guy. Roast turkey. We have better ways to make food now than shoving it into an oven.
I completely agree with you. Jeff Schwartz joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Seven years ago, Odell Beckham Jr. had that spectacular catch. And I noticed today on the Twitter machine that you were on that team and you talked about the energy. You guys actually lost that game. Nobody actually cares that you lost
Correct.
The game. What was it like after he made that catch?
Yeah, we did lose the game, but don't tell anybody. So that was actually my first game that year. I got hurt in the preseason and I got to come back for that Dallas game. Sunday Night Football. And the thing I remember most about the catch was, you know, I was obviously blocking it. I didn't see the catch until I saw the replay up on the Jumbotron. But I've never really been in a situation where a stadium was buzzing over a play that happened in the middle of a game. You know, I've been at game-winning field goals, and we've blocked a field goal in college. We had a big interception to beat USC in 2007. Like, I remember moments like that. This is the middle of the game, and the buzz in the crowd of realizing we saw something pretty special, I'll never forget, because it was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. In the middle of a game, everyone buzzing with excitement. Obviously, we did lose the game, which isn't great. But you know, that is what I will just always remember, is we just had this moment in the stadium of, wow, did we just witness maybe the best catch in NFL history? Which, I mean, I don't know what's the best catch ever, but at that moment, we had not seen a catch like that, I think, ever.
It was amazing. Okay, from that point, and that was a playoff team, to what you saw last night. Now, they fired Jason Garrett today, but why? Like, they invested so much in rebuilding the offensive line and getting Saquon Barkley, you know, to provide, you know, safety for a young quarterback. Why has it not worked?
Well, I mean, I think Daniel Jones can be okay, but obviously that turnover last night was not good. It wasn't okay. It was terrible. You know, their offense is just very disjointed. It doesn't really have a rhyme or reason. The play sequencing is not great. The offensive line has not been developed. They have 4 offensive line coaches right now. One of them just got promoted to be the OC in Freddie Kitchens. They just kind of do things differently, and they're behind in the times, the way they evaluate players and the way they train sometimes. And it's just a combination of all these little factors put together, and they just haven't been able to find much rhythm on offense. Of course, it doesn't hurt. You know, it doesn't help us when your quarterback throws the ball away too much. But he's been better this year, and he's played the best football of his career at times this year. And they lose games, which they cannot do. Right? They make errors with discipline, with a coach who's supposed to be, discipline. There's like little things like. I saw a report where, and I don't know how, I think it's true. I mean, it's from a Giants reporter at The Athletic, that they put a basketball hoop outside the indoor practice facility for players to go work on their hand-eye coordination for 5 minutes in cold weather during breaks. Like, what are we doing? Like, why is this? Why are you thinking about some weird, obscure method to work on hand-eye coordination in the meetings with a basketball on break outside? Like, what are we doing with ourselves? Like, why is this a thing that even, I put Andy Reid, Tom Coughlin, John Fox, there was no basketball hoop set up outside to work on hand-eye coordination in cold weather. Like, what are we doing? It's stuff like that where, like, why are we wasting time? Does Bill Belichick have a basketball hoop set up outside somewhere? Like, why are we wasting time with things that don't help anything? Like, that's just what I'm talking about. They just do, like, weird, random stuff. I don't get what their plan is a lot of times.
Is should Daniel Jones be their quarterback next year?
I would like to see him with a good coach as their OC, but I don't think if they have a new head coach and a new GM, he will be there next year. Although they'll find a way to move off from him. Obviously, not the best quarterback class. So if they're drafting a quarterback, it might not be the year to do that. And obviously, for agency-wise, you're probably not going to get anyone that's a long-term answer. But I would like to see him play with a competent offense. And I don't know if the Giants are willing to go that direction for 1 year, but that's what I would like to see.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Oh, okay, let's go around the league a little bit. Do you think the Chiefs are fixed?
I think they're better on offense. Fixed is probably not the right word because they're still committing too many mistakes that pull them off schedule, right? We're seeing drop passes still at a high rate. The offensive line's been really good, but a couple holding calls that derailed drives, missed field goal. I thought Andy Reid got pretty conservative at that point to kick a long field goal. But defensively, they're playing much better. And I always thought defensively they wouldn't be as bad as they were the first month of the year. I don't think anything to be this good. I'm not sure this is sustainable, but people always say things like, well, the Chiefs played Jordan Love. The Chiefs played Dallas without two wide receivers. All right, and they played really well. That's what they should do, right? You expect them to suck? If they're getting better, they should play well against bad quarterbacks and injury-riddled teams. Like, that's what they should be doing. So I think the defense is on the right track. Just offensively, they're close, but they still kind of make those self-inflicted errors. But the schedule's pretty light coming down the stretch. I think they would win probably five or last six. They'll be a 3 or 4 seed. And I don't know if you're Buffalo or Tennessee, are you going to be excited to see the Chiefs come into your city for a playoff game? Probably not. So I think the Chiefs are still very much alive to win the AFC.
Jeff Schwartz is our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Am I crazy or are the San Francisco 49ers a very dangerous team?
I feel like we've kind of been suckered into this over the years. You take out 2019 and Shanahan's a below 500 coach. I think even with 2019, he's a below 500 coach as a head coach. I love to believe in them. I think offensively, they do some fun things. Everyone that I've talked to about Shanahan, and my brother played with him in Cleveland for a year, like Shanahan, good coach, but they just do a lot of losing. And
they've had massive injuries. So when your quarterback's hurt, you have
the Ravens injuries this year, and they still find ways to win. Like that can't always be the excuse when other teams find enough ways to win with a bunch of injuries. I mean, Tennessee is
the Ravens lost to the Miami Dolphins. I want to point that out. They lost to a crummy Miami Dolphins.
Well, sure, but they're still 7-3, and they won a game this past weekend with 18 starters out. I mean, I just think that excuse over 4 years kind of gets tiring to me, the injury thing. So. Look, everyone's mostly healthy now, right? Like, all right, make it happen. Like, let's do it. Let's see it.
And they have. They've won the last two games.
Yeah.
Where they beat the Rams, and they beat a team that's, and then they beat a crummy team in the, in the Jaguars. Okay, what about this one? Baker Mayfield. How does that play out?
The Browns are kind of stuck. I argued this past offseason, and I was you basically yell into a void because no one was going to take this bait. But I was like, look, the Browns would draft a quarterback in the first round. I said that because I felt they have a very good roster and they're wasting their time with Baker Mayfield, and they should have done it. Now, obviously that would have been bold at the time to do. But their future is interesting because even Baker at his best, they're not winning Super Bowl with him. Do they play out next season on the fifth year option and then just year afterwards they go for agency? Like, they can't extend him no matter what. You can't do it. And again, if he comes back next year, you're just not winning Super Bowl with that guy. If that's the goal, then you got to move on from him. But the question becomes, how do you do that, right? He's the best quarterback they've had in 20 years, which isn't saying much about, you know, the quarterbacks they've had. And do you do it after the season? Because I can make an argument that if you wait next season to see how he does when he's healthy, that you've wasted one more year with this roster. And they have a lot of tough decisions to make. He's lost himself a lot of money this year. He has he was probably going to get paid even if he played just average. But he hasn't been. He's been really bad. He's been beat up. I know he's trying to gut through it. I don't think they should have played him last week against the Lions. And if they don't make the playoffs, what do you do with him?
I don't know what you do with him. They've also had an incredible amount of injuries. He's playing hurt. I still conclude that it's hard to find the next quarterback. I just wouldn't sign him to some $35 million deal. I don't think signing a guy in the 20s is a bad deal. I just don't.
But is he going to take that, though? That's the question.
If he doesn't, so. Then you go, hey, listen, you can play the market. You know what no one's done? No one said, hey, go out and on the market, and if you find a better offer, come back to us, and we'll see if we want to match or let you go. Like, what are we all scared of? Do you think
Washington
teams are going to line up?
Cousins. That was it. And Cousins ended up winning on that.
Yes, but part of the Cousins thing was they franchise tagged him for 2 years, which, by the way, you can do with Baker if you want to. The number is going to be excessive, even more so than Cousins.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about franchise tagging him. I'm saying, hey, like, dude, go play the market. It's cool. You know, offer him a deal, yeah. 75 up front for three, you know, and then you're paying him 25 a year. And then you can still keep everybody around you as the salary cap spikes.
I'm with you on that idea. I think if they paid him that rate, I'd be fine with that. But the question is, obviously, will he pay that? And will someone get desperate who doesn't have a quarterback and think to themselves, hey, I can fix this guy? That's what the draft status always means, right? If you're drafting the first round, plenty of teams think they can fix you. And so will he go somewhere else and help, you know, help and just kind of fool someone else into paying him? That's always, I think, in question when it comes to these decisions.
Jeff Schwartz is joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Who's the best team in the NFC?
Probably still Tampa Bay. They get some of their injuries back on the defensive backfield. They obviously have a great pass rush still. They got good linebackers offensively. Offensive line's good. Brady's still playing well. Probably win the MVP. It's still Tampa, in my opinion. They looked good, I know, last night against the Giants, but I think it's still them. They'll win the division. Maybe have the one seed, maybe not. But we saw last year that they won a bunch of road games. They don't have to have the one seed to get back. I trust them out of any team in the NFC. The Cardinals are interesting, though. They've won two division games now on the road with Colt McCoy. But Kingsbury's career record and his history would indicate that they are not a good second-half team. So I have to kind of believe – I have to see it before I believe the Cardinals are that team. But to me, it's the Bucks.
Jeff, great stuff, dude. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy it.
Same to you.
Let us know how the turkey comes out. We'll listen to you this weekend.
I will. All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that's Jeff Schwartz joining us. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation for your credit card from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Amari Cooper got COVID. He wasn't vaccinated. Wait to hear what the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, had to say.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so Amari Cooper out because he's on the COVID list. He missed two games. Here's Jerry Jones on his weekly Dallas radio hit talking about Amari.
The facts are it is a wee thing when you walk into the locker room. But this is a classic case of how it can impact a team when people are, at the end of the day, this is not individual, it is team. You cannot win anything individually. So all of that are statements that I know everybody has heard to their blue in the face. But the point is that this popped us. This did pop us.
This popped us. This did pop us. So Jerry kind of tried to walk the the line a little bit there. Tried to like, hey, listen, it's a we thing, not a. But he didn't call out Amari by name. Michael Irvin was a little bit more terse in his commentary about Amari.
Absolutely hot about it. Are you joking? I got a guy named Cedric Wilson catching passes who makes $2 million, and a guy named Noah Brown catching passes who makes $1 million, and I got a guy that makes $21 million on the bench or at home not playing. It's crazy. Our job as athletes is to try to remove any reason of not winning Super Bowl. That's why I condition, so that the fatigue ain't the reason that I lose a Super Bowl. Then that's why I go over plays a million times, so a mistake is not the reason I lose a Super Bowl. So you have to try to mitigate any issue that could cause you a game or a Super Bowl, and COVID is one of them. You go get vaccinated to try to mitigate it best you can. Now, you can still get it even after you get vaccinated, but it's a different percentage, a chance of you getting it. And I need you to get that different percentage chance.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. So what he's saying is, like, they're both saying here, this is a big thing for me. It's a big thing with NCAA violations. It's a big thing with NBA rules, with NFL rules, with Major League Baseball rules. I understand if you don't like the protocols. I get it. Okay, first thing is, and let's remember, there is absolutely positively no vaccine mandate in the National Football League. There is not. Okay, but part of the vaccine non-mandate, okay, is that if you don't get vaccinated and you pop positive, there's 10 days in which you can't be around the team. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. And so what you're telling anybody who's listening by not getting vaccinated is, hey, me and my desires and my wishes are more important than everybody else's. Okay, which to you, the normal American citizen, that sounds very reasonable. Okay, football's not a democracy. It's never been a democracy. The sacrifice you make to play sports your whole life is not like Jimmy down the street, okay, who owns his own business. You work for the league, you work for your owner, you have a union that collectively bargains for your rights. This is not like your job. This is not your own personal, like, oh, he's got my personal, like, no, it's not. You guys are looking, it's a lot like how we look at college athletics. We're like, oh man, like these guys, you know, we got to treat them like any other worker. Like, no. There's already a limit to how much time they can spend in their chosen field. They're already getting into if it's a job, they're getting into it when they're not really qualified for it. The benefits far outweigh anything. And like, look, there is a certain sacrifice to get this reward. And I'm not even talking about how much money. I don't even think you talk about how much money Amari Cooper makes versus how much other wide receivers make. This is just the whole mentality of football is it's the greatest team game ever. And in order to be a great team game, you're going to have to sacrifice. Wide receivers like Amari Cooper, how many targets he gets a game? 10 targets? How many plays they run a game? 85, 90? So 10 of the 90 plays, he gets the ball thrown to him. Hey, the sacrifice is those other 80 plays, you got to run hard, and when called upon, you got to block. And if there's a pick, you better track down the guy who's got the ball and tackle him, right? Those are the things you got to, that's all about sacrifice. It's all about, like, a lot of guys, like, do I have to go to this meeting? Do I have to go to the, you have to do it because it's part of what the team does. Sacrificing your own personal time, sacrificing your own personal goals for the betterment of the team goals, and sacrificing whatever you think of the health and safety protocols, whatever. And if you want to attack anything, okay, you can only attack Amari Cooper because this is not about the rules. This is, you know, the rules were set in place, agreed to by the Players Association and the NFL. That is set. Everybody knows it. And the guys who do not abide by it are putting themselves above the team, and that's the opposite of general football culture. Byer, what do you think?
I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, and I agree with Jerry Jones, and I agree with Michael Irvin on this. It really seems to sports is a different animal and team, and when you're Jerry Jones and you've been wanting to get a title, knowing that you likely only have a few years left, no, who knows if it's 10, who knows if it's 15, whatever, but even Jerry Jones has stated it, that he wants a Super Bowl. Yeah, I agree with all of it.
Yes, Ramos, go ahead.
So if that's the case, if Jerry Jones just said what he did, I heard him say the same thing on Bob Costas on HBO. He said the exact same stuff about Amari Cooper. Then why does he this may be a dumb question, but why isn't he enforcing it then? If he has a problem with it.
What do you mean he's not enforcing it?
Is he enforcing it and he just didn't get vaccinated? I'm sorry. I didn't exactly hear the reason why he, because he sounds like
Who didn't get vaccinated?
Amari Cooper.
It's a personal choice.
Okay.
You're allowed to choose to not get vaccinated, but if you don't get vaccinated and you get COVID, which he did, and you can get COVID,
sure.
kind of anywhere,
that's
right?
Correct. Even vaccinated, just happens, yes.
Right? And vaccinated, you can get it, but when you're vaccinated, you get it. All you have to have is two negative tests, and you can be back at work the next day.
Okay.
And everything they tell you about the vaccine's not the end-all, be-all, but what it does is it allows you to fight it off, you spread it less likely, right? And you stop the variants. That's the whole reason behind it. So, you know, it's like, but you're allowed to be unvaccinated. But if you're not unvaccinated, this is the punishment, or this is what you have to go through. And it sucks. And it doesn't actually matter if you had a bad case, or you don't have a bad case. The rules are set in place. And if you didn't like the rules, you should have petitioned the league or gone to the NFLPA or made a big stink about it 4 months ago when they set them in place. These are not new rules. Nothing has changed. Nothing is new. You knew it. You signed up for it. You got COVID. Now you missed two games. And now your team ends up being hurt because of it. I don't blame the owner for being pissed. And Mike Irvin is right. Like, look, to what's the old expression? Too much is given, more is expected. Like, yeah, just like the quarterback has to answer every question and gets booed more lustily because they're making so much money. Same with the $20 million wide receiver. You make $25 million. Hey, what? Guess what, dude? You got to go get the shot because we can't play without you. Because we spent $20 million of our cap on you. It's incredibly selfish. And I get that wide receivers inherently are told to kind of be selfish. Go get the ball. Demand the ball. We want that confidence. But you're playing in a team sport. We got to have everybody up and going. You knew the rules. You tried to skate the rules. Now in the middle of a huge part of the season, you get COVID. Bro, you're killing us. You personally, your personal decision, you put you above us. And that is anti all team sports and especially football culture. Go ahead, Jason.
You know, the next layer of this will be, which will be fascinating. You know, in the wake of this whole Antonio Brown thing, right? There's reports that multiple Bucks have been using fake vax cards, right? Maybe it's a Florida thing. I definitely know Texas, that's a thing. I'm wondering what happens if the NFL finds that there have been players that have been, that have tested positive and then, but had a fake vax card. In other words, Jerry Jones is pissed off because his player is going to miss two games because his player is not vaccinated. But what about if a bunch of Bucks were found out that, yeah, we had fake vax cards and we only served the minimum amount of punishment for this? I think that'll just like open a can of worms. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm going with this? Like the next layer of this might be that.
There's all kinds of ugliness that can ensue. All kinds of ugliness. Really, 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 really ugly stuff can happen. So we'll see. I do think that when you have Jerry and you have Michael Irvin, you know, and Jerry is a very powerful owner, but he's also always been players first. He is the guy who cut the check for Amari Cooper. He is the guy who authorized the trade for Amari Cooper. So it's not like he doesn't like Amari Cooper. But like we also have to be reasonable about it.
And Doug, I could be wrong about this, but there, you know, the Thursday night game is also the other curveball, a bit with this.
Right, if it was a Sunday game, then he'd be cleared.
Yeah. I don't know the timeline. I was actually just trying to think of, you know, what was the scenario with, you know, with Nick Chubb and with, you know, because Nick Chubb was vaccinated, but he still had to miss a game. There was even a question of, because the Cowboys not only play Thursday this week, they actually play Thursday the next week against the Saints in week 13, that there was even some question about his status for that one. But who knows? Yeah, timing of it.
Timing is bad. Timing is bad. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common use. The other part that it doesn't get discussed is most owners, most teams actually prefer a vaccine mandate because it wouldn't allow this. Because, again, there is no vaccine mandate. But if you're going to do the thing where there's no vaccine mandate, people are going to make it harder and harder and harder for you to just proceed as normal, if you're not vaccinated. And I understand that there's parts of the Midwest, like it's what's happening in Oklahoma is embarrassing. It's simply embarrassing. You know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but now you don't have to present a vax card if you go to an Oklahoma City Thunder game. It has the lowest percentage of vaccinated people in the United States. And of course, now, as was predicted, like there's going to be a spike in not just variants, but in COVID right around holiday time. Weather gets cold, people getting together, right? And, you know, you're going to have hospitals overwhelmed like once again. Like we know all of this stuff is coming. Again, you don't wish bad upon people, but it's like, look, you're putting yourself in a predicament. And oh yeah, by the way, you have NBA players who, you know, have been, you know, by and large have been vaccinated, are told to get booster shots, and now you're not even protecting them as they're traveling around the country, and you're going to a place like Oklahoma City. Like it just, you know, we're doing the dumb talk thing. Do you guys see? There's a gum that they think they've made that can limit the spread through your saliva,
right?
But it supposedly tastes like regular chewing gum. I read that last night. I was fascinated by it. When you make that gum, do you make spearmint? Do you make peppermint? Do you make cinnamon? Right? It supposedly tastes like gum. Does anybody know the difference between peppermint and spearmint? I sure as hell don't. I don't. I'm not gonna lie to you. My gum that I have is peppermint gum. But I'm not sure. I guess I do know the difference in spearmint. Spearmint's the green, always the green packaging. Peppermint's the blue packaging. Is that right?
Sure.
Yeah, the green is spearmint, right?
No, yes, green is spearmint.
Right.
Blue is peppermint. And the red is cinnamon.
I just have trouble when I chewed gum that was like really cold. It would make me feel like I can't breathe.
The gum is cold?
Why, you... you chew the gum... Okay. And then everything gets really cold, like your breath, and it always felt like it felt like you weren't breathing because it's so cold. That maybe that's just me. I'm sorry.
Byer, you want to help me out here?
I don't know if John's mouth would be cold because of the gum, and then it would be,
or it's just like it feels cold.
Yeah,
like when you eat something spicy and everything feels hot, but it's not really hot. It's just the spiciness.
Yeah, I don't know of any that would, you know, block any airways unless you...
unless you're allergic to it. I mean, you go to anaphylactic shock or something.
No, it's not blocking my airwaves or anything. It's just the feeling of the cold air because, you know, it's supposed to make you feel cool and breeze. You just feel like
You mean. It's like sometimes when the water's a little bit too cold when you brush your teeth.
Yes.
When you rinse, you're like,
Or you drink,
Yeah, you got to rinse out and you're like, maybe I should turn on the warm water. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
All right, coming up next, one Hall of Famer. I'm just going to leave that there. One Hall of Famer is ready to make a trip to space. Find out who next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I had a guy who, you'll love this one. Jason Stewart, I had a guy who texted me. On the Doug Gottlieb Show Facebook page. Let me bring this guy's message up. Where'd he go? Let's see. Doug Hall. And he said, keep the content of the show sports related. Keep your political and vaccine opinions to yourself. By the way, a vaccine opinion is not a political opinion. Doug, if you're listening, this is a you problem. It's not a political opinion. It's been made into a political opinion based upon people on both sides, the far right and the far left. Okay, make it into something political. It's not. It's a public health issue, period. Second of all, keep your opinions to yourself. So do you know what my response to him was?
What?
What is the name of the show?
Good.
What's the name of the show?
The Doug Gottlieb Show.
So we're going to do exactly what I want to do. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Yes, vaccine talk is not a part of sports. Oh, wait, Aaron Rodgers made it a part of sports. Oh, wait, Amari Cooper. I didn't do these things. I simply react to what the news is.
Byer.
Dan Byer, what do you got?
And the news out of Happy Valley is good news for Penn State fans. If you're a fan of James Franklin, he's going to be staying around, a new 10-year contract that keeps him under wraps through the 2031 season. Now, there are some buyout numbers, $12 million for this season, and then $8 million buyout for next year, and then it goes down to $6 million in 2023. But the average annual salary right now, $7.5 million for James Franklin.
I mean, this is, you know.
Plus incentives.
Plus incentives. Now, some people may ask, like, wait a second. A guy's been at Michigan State for a season and a half. He got $95.5 million a year. I'll try and explain this as quickly as possible. What bumps up the values of these, like when Jim Harbaugh was making $9 million a year, it was really $5 million a year, but $4 million a year was in these life insurance policies. You're like, what is that? What is it?
Yeah.
You can, there's a certain type of life insurance policy, which is actually a financial vehicle to make money after like the first 5 years of existence. And so what the schools do is they buy these policies, which have that value, and then they have to put in a fraction of that. And then eventually you start collecting money off of it as the coach down the road. And, you know, so now when Jim Harbaugh doesn't have, he only makes like $4 or $5 million. That's because those insurance policies, the premiums have already been paid off. That's what they're doing at Michigan State. It's likely that the reason they couldn't get to that number at Penn State is based upon each state's constitution. You can't, I know you can't do it in Oklahoma, and I think you can't do it in Pennsylvania.
They're saying a $1 million life insurance loan.
Oh, there you
that's
go. Okay, so yeah. Yeah. Sometimes there's a limit to it as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Which the, that's part of the incentives, which would bump it up to $8.5 million, $7 million salary, a $500,000 retention bonus. I guess the keyword there actually is retention, because James Franklin is staying at Happy Valley, and now USC and other schools will have to look elsewhere. Jumping to the NFL, Doug, the Adrian Peterson era is over in Nashville. Titans waived their running back today. They have added Golden Tate to their practice squad.
Which brings us back to your tweet of the year, which was. Was he questionable? Was he
probable,
out with
probable to return
with osteoporosis?
Yes. Yes.
He just looked old. And this is one of those where, like, you're Adrian Peterson and you want to, you still want to think you can do it. Like, anybody can do it once, but man, it's hard that second week. And when you get that call, only take the call if you're absolutely ready. If you're not ready, go like, hey, I need a couple weeks to get ready, because you might not going to get another chance.
Week 13, you could look ahead to that. Sunday Night Football, it will no longer be the 49ers and Seahawks. That has been flexed out instead. And I think the NFL made a bad choice. Instead of taking the Chargers and Bengals, they have chosen to take the Broncos and Chiefs game and flex it into Sunday night.
Wow, that's a weird call.
Yeah,
that's,
I would much rather see the Chargers and Bengals than...
That's a weird call. I would guess it's because the Chiefs rate better than the Chargers and the Bengals. That's, it's all about ratings.
We like see the Chiefs all the time.
We see them all the time because they rate.
Yeah.
People like Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
And Tyreek Hill.
I'd love to see a Herbert Burrow showdown, but we're going to see it. It's just going to be at 1 o'clock Eastern time on December 5th. Other news from the NFL, the Jets are getting Zach Wilson back in an odd fashion. He's going to return from his knee injury, Doug, and start against the Texans. But Joe Flacco and Mike White placed on the reserve COVID list. White tested positive. Flacco, who is unvaccinated, was a close contact.
Yeah. He has lots of thoughts about the vaccination, but he doesn't want to share them. Now he can share all he wants because he can't play football for 10 days.
And finally, Doug, Pro Bowl defensive end Michael Strahan will be one of the passengers on the next flight to space, courtesy of Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin, as Strahan and five others will board the New Shepard rocket on December 9th.
Yay.
Well, it's funny that so Tony Gonzalez, supposedly, you know, there's a picture of them talking with Bezos. You know, Bezos' girlfriend is an ex-girlfriend of Tony Gonzalez. They have a child together, who's now, I think, an adult. Whatever, but interesting that Tony chose not to go. He and Strahan are really close. Now, can Strahan go without Glazer?
It's a good point. It's a very good point.
And that's the press. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
All right, quick college basketball pick I'll give you. You can go over to Bet Rivers and check it out. And by the way, we've got another pod dropping. Dan Shaughnessy dropped today. Joe Bunisar, like the godfather of the workout, the NBA workout, pre-draft workout tomorrow. I like UCLA tonight. A lot of new Zags. They're super talented, but that UCLA team's back from last year. This is Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.